Well, good evening again.
Good evening.
I was just thinking, isn't prayer a pretty wonderful thing, you know, really neat? We're just a small group of people here tonight, comparatively speaking to the whole population of the world. But through prayer, we can touch the lives of many people and do great things. We may never see some of these people, but through prayer, we can touch their lives maybe, if the Lord sees it fit that way. So that's a good thing I was just thinking about, a neat thing. And as I was thinking about, during the course of the last month or so, I happened to be reading in the Psalms, and you can open up to Psalms 94 if you'd like. And this, the first 10 verses kind of been sticking with me to the point where I thought, well, maybe we'll have a few considerations on them, thoughts on them, meditations on them, even this evening. And so that's what we'll do, and we'll read them first 10 verses and then make a few comments along the way. Psalms 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? And he that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? O Lord God, sort of a crying out, you know? But it's not a pious crying out, like, or a reaching out. It's not, O Lord God. It's, O Lord God. You know? Really from the heart. And maybe there's been a time in your life when you've cried out like that, you know? O Lord God. I need some help. I think the psalmist, the writer, is speaking in that kind of a way. He cries out, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. He understands the fact that vengeance isn't his to dish out, but it belongs to God. But yet he says, O Lord God, show yourself, you know? Let me see something happening here. I'd like to see somebody squirm a little. I'd like to see somebody feel it. Let me see them get their due, God. Then he goes on, he says, lift up yourself, thou judge of the earth, and render reward to the proud. You know, sometimes we do things and our motives are good, and we have the right approach, and at least we think we do, or something, and we do something, and sure enough, we're taken wrongly. We're misunderstood. The very thing we set out to do turned and backfired against us, and so we become hurt. We become upset, and yeah, we become mad, and we'd say, you know, Oh, Lord God, sing him, you know, get him, I want him, let him feel it, you know, get him good, God, and just let me see him really squirm. I don't know, maybe you're not like that. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us, not always so anxious and ready to say that vengeance is of the Lord. Romans 12. Let's look it up. Verses 19. Oops. There we go. Okay. Here's our answer here, for it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Give that wrath up. Anger's a kind of a tough thing for many people to deal with. Some are not so bad, but some people have a real problem with anger. And the minute something happens, they're really ready to lash out. But as believers, we're admonished to do this. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Back to Psalms. And so the question is given in verse 4, where he says, how long? That's the question. You know, God is really good. Charlie mentioned that in his letter. God is so good. And we can see that in all of our lives, I think. You know, we really don't, I don't know, in this country we have so many things that you don't know where to start. But we sit down to at least 3 meals a day. We have employment, for the most part. We have a way to get around. These are all temporal things. And God is good to us. But God is also good to those who are outside of his family. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 45 that he sends the sunshine and the rain on the evil and on the good. And we can see that everyone that isn't a believer is not in poverty. In fact, it might be more the other way. And so he blesses people around us. God is good, and he's good to all of his creation. But we ask God this. Why do you allow them to triumph? Why triumph, God? How long, and how long are they going to triumph? During the Second World War, which me being born in 42 didn't know much about, only as a child, all I remember is bombs over Tokyo. It was the thing we'd say when we would throw something, bombs over Tokyo, you know. But during the Second World War, I got to believe there were a lot of grim days for some of you people that have gone through it and were adults at the time and understood it. And you were maybe asking that question, how long, Lord, are these wicked going to triumph? Hitler, what about Hitler, Lord? They break in pieces thy people and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. How long, Lord? And I imagine that was some questions that different ones had. How long, Lord, are you going to allow this to happen? Well, God, we know that your word tells us that you're a consuming fire, you know, and you could just take care of this overnight, whatever. You could destroy all these people. Even, you know, we were just thinking about how the Lord could have called legions of angels and prevented him from ever going to the cross. Nothing would have had to happen to him. So, I mean, certainly God is capable of anything, and he could take care of these situations. But why are you waiting, Lord? If you're that consuming fire. And in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, we read, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's not just that God would take vengeance against all the major wrongs in the world, but even ourselves too. I mean, think about it. We are not always pleasing to the Lord in the things that we say and the things that we do and the things that we leave undone. Well, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not all consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not, right? And so we say, thank you, Lord, that you're long-suffering. But they say within themselves, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. They say, see, we're getting away with it. Nothing's happening to us. I think about Noah, you know. 100 years building this huge ship, boat, ark. And all the mockers. Noah, what are you doing? You need to shrink, you know. I mean, you're spending all this time building this ark for what? You say judgment's coming? Well, everything's been the same. I mean, we're here. We're still in our sin and unrighteousness, and nothing's happening to us. What's up, Noah? And even today, so many people are saying the same thing. You know, they talk about, well, you say Christ is coming again. Well, he isn't coming. I haven't seen him. It's been almost 2,000 years. But we know he's coming. And we know that someday he will come. And so today, many people are gloating in their sin and unrighteousness, but unknowingly headed headlong for a Christless eternity in hell. And so he holds his wrath and his judgment, but not forever. Because in Revelations, if you want to turn there, chapter 19, we can read some more familiar verses. It's not going to be a pleasant thing for the unrighteous. Chapter 19, verse 11 says this, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written on that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God." It's not always going to be good for the people, is it? "And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So the ungodly and the brutish back in Psalms and in verse 8 are admonished to understand, ye brutish among the people and ye fools, when will you be wise? When are you going to wake up? God is loving and long-suffering, but the wrath of God is yet to come. Wake up to what's going to happen. I like these next couple verses here. Verse 9. I think this is probably what caught my attention as I read through here, first of all. In fact, I know it is. Talks about he that planteth the ear. The ear is a really good thing. All these things that we have are really neat. I mean, sometimes I, just for fun of it, would maybe plug my ears and see what it was like to be deaf. Well, it's not very nice. And that's only for a little bit, but let's suppose you plug them for a day. Well, I mean, think of all that you'd miss out on. Tonight on the way in, I was listening to some nice music. Well, that would be all. In our communications one to another, through words and expressing thoughts, I mean, that would be out. Unless you can lip read. But if you're like me, and your wife's over there, you know, like this, and you're trying to stand, forget it, I don't lip read, you know? If you want to say something, say it. Don't lip read. But if we didn't have ears, we couldn't understand these things. At night, when we're sleeping, sound asleep, you know, we're warned maybe of danger through a dog barking or whatever, something to wake us up, something's out there. You know, our ears, wonderful things. But Psalmist says, don't be fooled. He that planteth the ear hears these cries. He hears the cries of, what, 3 million Jews that Hitler had annihilated? He heard them. So be wise. The Lord that planted the ear, he can hear. Don't be fooled. And how about the eye? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Again, think about you being blind. I mean, what a blessing we have. We're talking about how the Lord is so good. I mean, we have ears. I think all of us here have ears. Maybe some don't hear too good anymore, but still we have ears. And we have eyes. We can see all these things. But some people aren't blessed that way. So we need to be thankful for some of these things that we have that we basically take for granted. We're entering into spring, and we're noticing a few flowers around. And here we got lots of flowers right here. But all these things wouldn't be possible without the eye. But again, he says to these people, be wise. The God that formed the eye, he can see, and he knows, and he's keeping record. Don't be fooled. God can see. Shall he not correct in the 10th verse? Well, yes, he can. Some things he'll correct right away, but all things eventually. And it's not our place to make the corrections, even though we'd like to. But it's rather God's, where he said, vengeance is mine. Shall he not correct? Yeah, he'll correct. Shall he not know? Oh yes, he knows. He knows all things. He knows difficulties we're having. He knows situations that we might be been in that are not good and difficult. That thing you tried to do that was misunderstood or whatever, he knows about it. And he knows all about man's heart. And basically, we can be thankful that vengeance isn't ours, because if it was, we'd probably go out and really raise havoc on everybody that we could, and so would everybody else. So tonight we want to be thankful for the fact that God is so good, and how we can cry out to Him, "Oh Lord God, I need some help." And that knowing that one day all these wrongs that have taken place that we're concerned about will be taken care of. And that the Lord, the God of all the earth, will do right. And we can be thankful and rest in that assurance tonight and forever. Well, we'll just close in prayer. And you got an early secure tonight. Father, we just bow in your presence. We want to say thank you for the fact that we have your word in front of us and that we can learn from it. Help us not to give place to wrath, but rather let you take care of the situations. And then as we pray about them, help us not to just look for a result that would benefit us and make us feel good. But help us to understand that you're working all things out for your good, and that you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And so we thank you for that tonight. Impart us with your blessing. Thank you for our gathering here. Thank you for prayer that we can speak on behalf of others and ourselves. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.